The Lord. Amen. Why don't we take some time right now? And I know that you've been thinking about who you're going to pass this out, but let's take a moment just to pray that God would give us the words to speak. This is just a conversation starter. The goal is not to put this in someone's hands. It probably end up in the trash if you just do that. The goal is to have a conversation about what this is, which our revival service are very important. Can we pray right now, Lord Jesus, have your hand upon us, God. As we go, Lord Jesus, anoint us, Lord God. Lord, you know the individuals, Lord, that we're going to speak to. You know exactly, Lord, what they need to hear. Jesus, I'm thanking you right now for the miracles that you are about to set up, Lord God, in the lives of these individuals, Lord God. Lord Jesus, help us to reach the lost, Lord God. Put a burden on our heart, Lord Jesus, for those, Lord God, in need of salvation, Lord. We thank you and praise you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We're going to go quickly to Scripture. Thank you again, Pastor, for asking me. Again, communion is very, very, but communion and foot washing, very special. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I've got very fond memories of having these services, and they're very powerful. Not just because of, you know, the symbols that we have, not just because of what we're doing, but because we believe in the Lord Jesus and what He did. Amen? There's no magical piece of wafer or magical, you know, cup of drink. There's nothing like that. That's a touchy subject, I know. But it's what you believe. It's what you believe that matters. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. If you would turn there with me in your Bibles. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, his disciples, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I want to take a title from this verse 28. This is my blood. This is my blood. And I have a great honor today in preaching the word, preaching this passage of Scripture, to try to set our mind on things that are above. This Wednesday is going to be a very special service. And to me, and this is just my opinion, to me this is the most important service that we have all year. And we have the different holidays and different things like that. None of which, just to be clear, Jesus didn't say to observe any other holidays. I know. That might come as a shock to you. But this he said to do in remembrance of me as often as you do it. Praise the Lord. So we get to remind ourselves that we are in covenant with our deliverer, our heavenly Father. Amen. God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll reiterate what Pastor said. Let's have this service in remembrance of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask you, God, to show us today, Lord, that your blood, your precious blood, Lord God, is on us, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, that it delivered us, it saved us, Lord Jesus. It redeems us, oh God. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you that when you look at us, God, you say, this is my blood. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. God, show us this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This is my blood, he said. This is my blood. The Last Supper is what we're commemorating. And it was also the Last Supper of the Passover, the commandment of the Passover. But it was the institution of the first communion. But also, it was our Lord remembering and looking back on the Exodus, the Passover. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, is this commandment, and it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." This is the Exodus story. This is the day of deliverance. The night before the deliverance was when they were commanded to eat the Passover. And they were commanded, have your coats on, have the shoes on your feet. Amen. Be ready to leave. Be ready to walk out the door. Because this is the night before. This is the eve of your deliverance. Hallelujah. And so this Exodus story was, it wasn't just about Israel. In fact, if you look in every section of the Old Testament, there's a reiteration of this, I will call it the gospel to the Israelites. They reiterated it over and over and over again. It was spoken of by the prophets. It was spoken of in the Psalms. It was spoken of in the histories. They seemed every time to be looking forward to an event. Amen. And this is not just about Israel. It is about our salvation. It's about the New Testament. It's about looking forward to the application of the blood of the real spotless Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Amen. And while this Exodus story was powerful, it was a powerful example of deliverance, there was one important thing that God could not say about that blood that they put on the doorposts and on the lintel of their homes. He could not say, "This is my blood." So, it had to point the Israelites to a future atonement that could only come from Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, Christ is our real Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ is sacrificed for us." Our Passover is sacrificed for us. So, just as in the Old Testament, as they prepared for the Passover, we are going to be preparing, and I hope you already have been preparing for communion. So let us remember that we should examine ourselves. Sister Jerry led the prayer last week and she mentioned, examine yourself, examine yourself. Just as the Israelites did. See, they were commanded and required to fast before the Passover. And the Bible in the Old Testament, it's kind of tricky because you see this phrase. It says, afflict your souls. They were commanded to afflict your souls. And it's a while before you understand in the Bible that that's talking about fasting. In fact, you have to get all the way to the New Testament to realize that they were requiring a fast. But what did they call it? Afflict your souls. That sounds like fasting to me. Praise the Lord. I like food. It's no question about it. If you invite me to eat with you, I'll eat with you. Praise the Lord. And God's working on me with that. But this is part of what we do to prepare ourselves. As they examined their homes, they looked and searched for leaven because leaven was a type of sin. Leaven was a type of haste, and isn't sin such a haste? We sometimes do things in haste, and then we call it sin. Well, if you have leaven, we want to be unleavened. We want to be totally free from sin. Amen. And so we've got to do the work to go through and say, God, search my heart. God, I acknowledge my sin. God, I repent and I receive forgiveness from my sins. Let's keep in our mind that His mercy And his kindness is for us. Let's keep in mind that He has forgiven us of all of our sins. Amen. We've got to acknowledge our transgressions. We've got to have Him in focus and in mind. Amen. As we examine and as we prepare ourselves. Amen. Don't ignore anything. Go through your life. Go through your inventory, if you will, of your spirit. And let's look through, let's search through our lives and make sure that there's nothing that comes between me and God. Amen. It's true repentance that God requires. Amen. It's truly an inward focus to make sure that there's nothing that can separate us from God. Praise the Lord. God wants for us to come. Amen. And it really shows. And I was talking to somebody this morning and I mentioned that none of us are perfect. None of us can come to God and say, God, that, oh, I've got it all together. I don't need the Lord anymore. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Scripture says. Amen. We are all unrighteous. We are all as filthy rags. Hallelujah. We all need salvation. We all need a Savior. Amen. That He would cleanse us and wash us and place His blood in our lives so that He can say, this is my blood. Hallelujah. Jehovah, our salvation. Jesus sacrificed His very perfect life, the life of His flesh, to redeem us from the curse of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was by the cross, my friend. It was by the shedding of that precious blood that God could finally say, this is my blood, and it's available for you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. This blood is precious. Amen. This blood is for me. Amen. And it's for you. This blood was shed for many for the remission of sins. Amen. This blood is available to you and me today. Praise the Lord. We just were singing about the blood. Amen. Those songs bring back precious memories to my life. Amen. Those times of realization that it was not by works, lest I perish and lest I boast, but it was by the precious, spotless Lamb of God and His precious blood. Amen. That I'm able to enter in to the Holy of Holies, lift my hands without shame and without any reservation, and come boldly into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands right now and love the Lord? I feel His presence in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. We sing it. I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Oh, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Oh, its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. We sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
Oh, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Oh, sinners plunged beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Amen. Dear dying Lamb, oh, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Hallelujah. There's another one that says, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Amen. You might go through a fire. You might go through a flood. You might have some sorrow in your life. But keep on holding on to the precious blood of Jesus. All of us need the blood. Hallelujah. Victory ahead. Victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see victory ahead. Hallelujah. And when I see the blood, stand with me. When I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's only when He says, this is my blood. It's only when He says, this is my blood which I shed for you. Amen. For your atonement, that you can say, I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody's got to praise Him right now. Hallelujah. I see the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a worship leader at heart. I will lead us in worship all the whole service. Amen. If we need to. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here we are. Amen. Looking back at those instructions that Moses gave to the children of Israel in Exodus 12:22. Moses reiterates this, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and it will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Moses had to amplify something that God had already explained in verse 13, because he knows the tendency of people
to do their own thing and ignore the specifics of God's commandments. They already had done it many times before and many times since. So God gave this specific reminder. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Death is not going to pass over you because you're an Israelite. Death is going to pass over you because you are in the house that is covered by the blood. This house, this church, this is the house that God purchased. This is the Jesus name, one God, apostolic church. Amen. This is the church that belongs to Him. Amen. This is the blood-bought church. This is the church over which God has said, this is my own blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 shows us this. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. So when God sees you and I in this household of faith, in this great church of God, when we're born again, when we're bought with the price, and that price that's paid is applied to us, amen, that is when God says, this is my blood. Hear this. The death angel didn't know who had died. He just saw the blood. It was lamb's blood. It was a lamb taking the death of a man so the man could take the life of the lamb. It was a lamb taking the guilt of a man so that the man could take the innocence of the lamb. It was a lamb dying in a man's name so that the man could live in the lamb's name. Hallelujah. God's blood gives us this life. He gives us, amen, life, innocence, amen, and He allows us to live in His name. That name is Jesus. That name applies the blood to your life when you're baptized. Amen. When there's a wildfire, and my uncle Mike was what's called a heli repeller, or smoke jumper, they called him. When there's a wildfire, and he used to have these wildfire seasons every year, he's now retired, and he did pretty well. And thank God he survived. It's a very dangerous job. But in order to get the fire under control, the Forest Service sends this special crew of smoke jumpers in advance of the fire. And the reason they go in advance is to intentionally create what are called fire breaks. The firemen dig trenches on both sides of the place that they're going to make the fire break, and they intentionally light fires in advance of the fire, of the wildfire. Intentionally burning. And you could imagine people calling the police saying, what is going on? There's a bunch of firemen out there lighting fires, and there's all these forest fires going on. But fire breaks stop wildfires because a fire break has already burned the area. So there's nothing there when the fire gets there to continue to fuel the fire. When we see that our sins are already dealt with by the blood, already taken away by the cross, they are burned over and forgiven, we see that sin no longer has control over our lives because God has taken control. Hallelujah. When it comes to my sins, the blood speaks. There's already been a death here. God sees it and He says, this is my blood. The debt has been paid here. He's taken away my sins. Amen. He does not remember them. He has washed them away. He has blotted them out. He has wiped them out like a cloud. He has pardoned them. He has buried them in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. What a great God. What a wonderful God. What a kind and merciful Savior that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But we've got to stay in the house. God does not predestinate individual people. You are responsible for your own choices. And yes, He has foreknowledge, but He does not predestine you to be saved or to be lost. Amen. However, God clearly in Scripture predestinates groups of people. So you need to make sure that you are in the right group. You need to make sure you're in the right house. Be sure of that. Amen. Don't play games with where you worship. Don't play games with where you choose to serve the Lord. Amen. Because we need to make sure we're in the right house. Amen. Say, well, I'll just stay home and I'll just worship the Lord my own way. Be careful, because God does not have a plan for you outside of the church. God does not have a contingency plan for you to be saved apart from the body of Christ. And I hope that makes sense for you. And I'm telling you that because I love you. You've got to get in unity with the body of Christ, because that is where the Spirit moves. That is where the blood flows. Amen. You've got to be connected. Amen. You've got to be connected to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so true. So true. I want to be in the house. Let's look at this contrast in Scripture. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Another place in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." But what about those who are in Christ? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Us. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that demonstrates for you that you've got to be in the house. You've got to come in, amen, to the elect. Those who are striving to become like Jesus. Those who are striving to get closer to the Lord. Amen. Don't go hang out at the bar and think that you're going to be saved. Don't go to the liquor store. Don't go to the clubs. Amen. They're not interested in serving God. Come on into the house. Amen. This is the place where the Lord has set up and dwell. Amen. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, three veils were rent. They were three areas where access was completely restricted. These were three places that I don't care who you are, you wish to enter. God put it in the heart of every man that he wants to enter into Christ, into a relationship with God. God put it in the heart of every woman and child that they want to go to heaven. Amen. Some people might say, "No, I'm going to go to hell with my buddies." Amen. You probably heard it before. "Oh, we're going to have a party in hell." Stop joking around. This isn't a game. This is talking about the salvation of your soul. That's a place we don't want to go. But every single one of us does want to enter in beyond the veil.
These are three locations that humanity enters the presence of God. And it's really just one veil that has got three layers. And let me tell you about the first one. The first one was the veil in the temple. Jesus cried with a loud voice in Mark chapter 15, verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom. The second veil is the veil in the heavenlies. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner of for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. The veil in the heavenlies, amen, was what the temple was patterned after. But also, there was the veil of his flesh. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, his side was opened. The veil was done away with, and blood and water came out. John 19:34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. 1 John 5:6 explains this verse and says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Those three veils, like three layers, if you will. One was spiritual, one was in substance, and one was as an example. What the veil in the temple was in the Old Testament shadow, Jesus' side was in substance, and the veil in heaven was in eternity. When one of them got ripped, they all got ripped. When the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, every single veil was ripped. The veil was ripped not so that God could get out, but so that we could get in. Hallelujah. That we could get into the presence of God. That we could get into heaven. That we can get into Christ. Jesus' side was ripped not just so that the blood and water could get out, but so that we could get in. God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, not just so that we could be with Him in His presence, but so that His presence could be in each and every one of us. Amen. So that His Holy Spirit could be in our bodies. Amen. Leading us, guiding us. Amen. Helping us to walk. Hallelujah. In the Gospels, Jesus said in John chapter 14, now I am with you, amen, but I shall be in you, amen. In the Gospels, the disciples walked with Jesus Christ. But in the epistles, the church was in Christ, amen. The church is in Christ. If you pass through one veil, you pass through them all. If you pass through one veil, you pass through them all. So how do I get into Christ? How is it that I can enter in beyond the... what's that entry point? How do I make it? How do I get in to where God sees me and says, this is my blood? Man, I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put
on Christ. And that verse right behind me, Acts 2:38, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've been baptized, if you've been filled with His Spirit, you have put on Christ. Amen. And in Christ, amen, we are blessed in heavenly places. We are holy and we are without blame. We have been accepted and we are beloved. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, I'm going to read this one here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Amen. It is a wonderful thing to be in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know that I am part of this accepted, beloved body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know that I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. In Christ, this isn't just some, you know, thing that, oh, he needed help, so he got into the church, or, you know, he needed some sort of, you know, extra counseling, or, you know, maybe there's a lot of times the reputation, oh, he must be weak-minded, he needed God. And all of those statements come from non-believers. All of those statements come from people that just don't know. They just haven't experienced what we have. We have a wonderful treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. We have an inheritance, amen, with the righteous. We have a great and mighty, mighty gospel. Amen. It's the best news I've ever heard. Amen. It's the best story I've ever read. Amen. It's my favorite thing to think about. Amen. It's my favorite thing that I know. Amen. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm under the blood. Amen. I'll just give you these references and you can write down the notes, but Romans chapter 3 verses 23 through 25 shows us that in Christ we are righteous. Amen. Romans 8 1 verse 1 and Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. In Christ there is no condemnation. Romans 8 38 and 39. In Christ we cannot be separated from His love. Acts 17 28. In Christ we are always in the presence of God. We no longer have need to go to a temple. We no longer have need. No, because we pass through the veil. We pass through. We're always in the presence of God. He never will leave us or forsake us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 27. In Christ we are called and chosen. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. In Christ, we are made alive. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, amen. Let's read this one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know you're a new creation when you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. God does a completely new thing to you. Amen. You can't say anymore, well, it's because I'm this, or it's because I had that in my past, or it's because I'm not worthy, or it's because I have, you know, I have all these problems. No, no, no. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. You do have a choice to serve the Lord. You are filled with the Spirit of God.
You are able to serve the Lord with gladness and with joy. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:6. I just got a few more. Ephesians 2:6. In Christ we are sitting in heavenly places. It doesn't say you're going to sit in heavenly places. It says He's raised us up together, past tense, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. My ticket's punched. I'm going to make it to heaven. Amen. You are too. If you'll just stay in Christ, you're passed through the veil. Amen. You've got to stay in it. Stay in the house. Hallelujah. Under the blood. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:9 and 10. In Christ we are complete. Ephesians 2:13. In Christ we are made near and are citizens of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In Christ we are made the righteousness of God. No longer a curse. Amen. And 1 John 3:4 through 6. In Christ we are no longer miss the mark. Think about that. Say, oh, yes, of course, the Bible says, and it's clear, that you have sin in your life. He said in 1 John chapter 1, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourselves. But it also shows us that in Christ, we no longer miss the mark in the eyes of God. We are sinless in the eyes of God if you are in Christ. So you say, oh, well, what if I sin? What if I sin? A lot of people ask me that. Well, what if I sin? Go back to the repentance part. Acknowledge that you sinned. Agree with God that you made this sin, that you made this mistake, that it's wrong that you did what you did. Confess it to God. Amen. And then come before Him knowing that He forgives you. That's what 1 John chapter 1 says. Confess your faults to the Lord. Amen. And He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. And because we can stand in the presence of God, and because He looks at us and He says, this is my blood. In Christ, we are not ashamed. 1 John chapter 2:28 says this, and now, little children, abide in Him, live in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Would you stand with me together? Amen. Musicians, would you come? Hallelujah. This might be foreign to your ears. You might have a past history of thinking that you've got a cycle. You've got to go through this cycle of sin and make mistakes and come to God and repent and then go out and sin again and then come back to God and make mistakes and then sin again. No, 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 my friend. If you are in Christ, amen, and you stay in the house, all of these things that I showed you, this is great news. Amen. Because all of the things that I've said to you are true. And they're not true because pastor said them. They're not true because any of our ministry said them. They're not even true because I said them. They're true because thus saith the Word of God. This is the Word. God said it. It's true. It's settled. His promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. All of it is because Jesus can look at us and say, this is my blood. And when we partake in communion, we're bringing this into the focus once again. We do it remembering and saying, Jesus, if it was my own blood, I would not be found worthy. If it was my own works, I would fall short. If it was my own efforts, I would have been lost a long time ago. But God, it's because of your precious blood
It's because of the symbol of the precious blood of Jesus and our wonderful faith in Him. Amen. Because when He sees the blood, He accepts us. And we are able to enter in to so many wonderful promises and blessings. Hallelujah. We get to stay in the house. Amen. You're not going to see me, Pastor, going and peeking out the windows and opening the door. Oh no, like this, that, and the other. I might be holding the door open and say, get in, get in, get in. There's something coming on this world, church. And sometimes I think it's already here. Look at what's going on in the world today. The death angels passing through the land. Oh yes. Oh yes. If you look at the end result of that lifestyle of sin, that people are so, they're celebrating it. Look at lifestyle of sin. Everybody celebrating sin. They're becoming complacent. They're thinking peace and safety. But the scripture is clear. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. But we get to stay in the house. We get to stay under the blood. We get to stay in Christ. We get to stay in covenant. Amen. If it's been a while since you thought about the blood of Jesus, or you remembered and you know that you're in covenant with God, or if you just want to renew your covenant with the Lord, why don't you come on to this altar and take some time to thank God for His precious blood. Thank God for His mercy. God, without Your mercy, I can do nothing, Lord. Without You, I'm lost, God. I'm desperate. I'm lost. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. Without You, God, without Your precious blood, without You making me a new creation, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just let the Spirit of the Lord move into this place and renew us. Restore us. Hallelujah. It says that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And we are in the presence of God right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus.